B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tannehill rolling to the right. He could throw it. He could run it. He'll pull back at the last minute and throw a touchdown pass to Jonnu Smith. Touchdown Titans!
Well, I mean, I'm never going to question this football team. I'm never going to question the effort. I'm never going to go into a game questioning how we're going to do. I expect us to win and play with great effort. A lot of stuff that we can get better at and improve on, and we're going to have to do it quickly when the Texans come in here in a few days.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And that was the scene yesterday, 42-16, the Tennessee Titans over the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen had a Josh Allen game. He made a throw that maybe he's one of the couple guys that could, in the NFL, that could actually make, where Tennessee was rushing three and he was standing around for about 10 seconds and then just absolutely rifled the ball about 30 yards, 40 yards. To the back of the end zone, and then he threw two picks and came out with a pretty crappy passer rating. And then you had Ryan Tannehill, who was did what he was asked to do. He was almost perfect, and ran the ball well. He did what he had to do. He was very efficient.
That's all they're asking him to do. When you have Derrick Henry running like that, and as they did all the way through to the AFC Championship game last year, Tannehill can relax.
Yes.
He knows that it's not all on him. This is why he's a perfect fit for them.
But also, he is showing his he is a very, very good athlete.
Yes, and he can run. He can run,
and
sure.
He's showing that he can play the position.
And can we also say that finally we see what happens when the Bills play a very good team?
Sure.
I mean, they've played the Raiders, and they beat the Raiders. Okay, so that's an okay win. They lost to the Rams. I'm sorry, they beat the Rams, they beat the Dolphins, and they beat the Jets. So far, you go up against a team like the Titans, who are a legitimately good team. They were a contender last year, and they get stomped. They get absolutely stomped against a team that, quote-unquote, didn't practice for the last 2 weeks, which, by the way, is another theme last night that I thought was fairly hysterical. Now, it was announced before the game, we talked about this earlier, that the Goodell's not going to come down hard on the Titans. Now, the only place where I've seen any kind of report that video of the team practicing at a high school was done before they were told by the NFL that they couldn't practice together. I haven't seen any major publication say that that's the case. It was this small little website out of Nashville called 24/7 Sports. You would think if that was the case, that would have been picked up by ESPN, by somebody, would have come out and say, hey, we practiced before we were told not to. So other than that one little website, it looks like they cheated and they broke COVID protocol and they ended up causing a mess for everybody. So Ryan Tannehill yesterday was asked about the win and he said this.
We said a lot of things throughout the past couple of weeks and things that were being said and personal things that were said against our team, our guys, really felt uncalled for. So yeah, we were a little ticked off about how we've been treated, how we've been looked at over the past couple of weeks. And we really just stuck together through that process and believed in each other and wanted to come out and play our game and play how we believe in each other and knew what we could do. And we did that.
How you've been treated, you jacked up the NFL schedule. Do you know how many teams you screwed with all of this, including the Bills? How about the Steelers, whose game has to be moved later on in the season? They have to give up their bye week because of it. The Bills had to move all the crap around. That sucked for them. And you're sitting here playing the victim? That was fantastic last night. All the bad things we said. Yeah, because it was of your own doing. You effed it up, and you broke COVID protocol, according to everyone except for this one little tiny website. If it's proven that that's right, then I am wrong. But you and I apologize. But you would think by now that story would have been verified by some sort of major company or some sort of major publication like The Athletic or ESPN or somebody. But he's sitting there going, yeah, a bunch of horrible times. I'm the victim here. Yeah. F you. You almost jacked up the league for everyone.
Yeah, that you can say what you want about when they knew about the rules, when you didn't know about the rules. I think if you are not allowed to go into the practice facility, you really shouldn't be practicing. If you really want to prevent the spread of this, You're not outside practicing at a local high school field. And the other part of it is Mike Vrabel's a really good head coach, because that is incredibly irresponsible. And somehow Vrabel turned that around into us versus the world thing.
What does it remind you of?
The Houston Astros, actually.
No, it reminds you of the Patriots.
Oh, the Bill Belichick, of course. Because they had more stuff against the world. Vrabel made it work for him. They stomped Buffalo in the second half last
night. Taking press clippings and taking, you know, what people say on TV and the radio and playing it for the players. I mean, this is straight out of the Belichick handbook. And
it
works. And that's what Tennessee did, and obviously it did something. Because either it shows you that NFL practices are pointless, or they were practicing.
I mean, Buffalo is ready, man.
But I mean, for the balls of Tannehill to get up there. Like, if you're a player on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and these guys, because they jacked around, ended up blowing your bye week. Like, you don't get a bye week now. You're sitting there going, all right, Tannehill. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. F you. We had to sit there and give up. We have, 13 weeks in a row for the Steelers? You have to play 13 weeks in a row without any kind of stoppage. And by the way, that's if nothing else like crazy happens with all the COVID stuff. So I heard him say, it's one thing to go out there and do it. And by the way, I was obviously rooting for the Titans, as anybody should be around here. I mean, it's good. It helps. They got a loss now. Awesome. But F that guy for getting up there and trying to make it that they're the victim in all this. You almost F'd the entire league. Like, if this thing would have gone any further, if you had one or two more positive tests, I mean, they were about to come down and just change everything. We're getting a week 18, and it still might. But, I mean, you guys F'd it up for a lot of people. So shut your mouth, Mr. Brian Tannehill, when you're done with this, because I swear to God, you're pissing a lot of people off.
Well, but watch what you say about a week 18, because that gets people going. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. You were talking about the Will Brinson interview. That was the jumping off point to a lot of weirdness yesterday.
Yeah, Will
Brinson,
I was just like, why would they announce a week 18? And he got all like, he got all pissy about it.
Mm-hmm. I happen to agree with Will. I think they should announce at Week 18. But the byplay between the two of you was interesting to watch.
I have just no desire to talk about it any longer.
I understand.
I want to know what happened. Like, what was the
it was just got uncomfortable. He got into a weird place.
It wasn't uncomfortable. He just got pissy. He was whining about the league not being forthright about what their plans were in case something happened. And I said, why would they do that? Why would they do that? And I gave the example of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 canceling their seasons before they had to say anything. And he goes, well, that's completely different. You can't compare the two things. And I said, and then I explained why I compared the two things. And then he just got pissy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I just was like, why do they have to be forthright? I mean, what's it to you? And I said, what's it to you? If they do it or not. And then he was kind of like, oh, well, it's nothing to me. And I'm like, all right. Like, what do you care?
Well, I actually agree with you. I mean, why announce a week 18 before it's officially needed?
Right.
You know, and I think there is going to end up being one.
I agree, I don't think there's
any doubt. But, I mean, they don't have to announce that now, because what if miraculously they don't need one?
Right.
So I don't, and you know what? It's almost like, and this is probably like thinking a little too much about it, but you know, if you announce a week 18, it's almost like giving people a little bit of nudging room to, you know, saying that it's okay if you screw up once, you know,
I don't think that's a ridiculous thing. I don't think that's a ridiculous take. I don't see one advantage to announcing it now.
No, and
I don't know why it's a point of passion for people like that they need this week 18. No. Like it's some hypocrisy of the NFL, or the NFL is not being, forthright or whatever the hell the term is for it, with their information, and they're hiding things. Shut up. Just watch football, for Christ's sake.
Fred, I'm sorry, I have to read this to you. So Manish Mehta,
I love it. If you're not following him, follow him because he's dancing on the last five tweets of last night.
He just put, this is amazing. Kyler Murray named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance in win versus Jets. It's the third consecutive week a player has earned Player of the Week honors after beating the Jets.
The tweets that come from Manish, you can feel the hate like dripping
off
him.
The best is he hashtags take flight out of all of his.
Yes, I know. Every single tweet of the last six, the five last night and this morning all have hashtag take flight.
Well, Samini, who does it for ESPN, has reached like a breaking point, because he's like, this is my life.
Yeah.
And this has become
like no fun.
For different reasons, he's about a year behind Manish.
Well, Samini has been doing it for like 40 years, and he's just fed up with the organization. Manish hates the organization.
Yeah,
right
what now. What I'm saying is they're still winding up in the same place eventually. I guess is my point.
I mean, can you imagine covering a team like that, and then at a certain point, just going like, "This is never going to matter." Like none of this matters. Like they're never going to.
They're never lacking for material. Never. There's always something.
Yeah, you know, it's great in early October, and then you come to December, January, and no one could give a rat's ass about what's going on with them.
No pesky road trips to the playoffs?
People want to read about chaos when it's a team that's not used to chaos. If it's constant failure, people just stop caring.
Yes, it becomes and when the playoffs are on the horizon and teams are actually playing for something, these storylines of just how inept the organization are go away. It's got to be no fun to cover.
Fred, I would argue that more people who are like Patriots fans enjoy reading the bad stuff about the Jets than Jets fans do. Because it's like almost like it's fun. It's like, look at how awful everyone else is.
Well, that's the idea,
Whereas if you're a fan, you're just like, I don't want to hear. It's the same way like when a team loses a championship or whatever. Like, you don't want to read anything about it. You're just like, I'm cutting it off for like a day or two. You know, I want to get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're on the other side of it, you know, it's fun to dance on the grave if it's a team you don't like.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like there's been any shortage of that opportunity.
No,
Schefter, by the way, has come out and said that indeed Gilmore and Cam Newton did have dinner.
So he's doubling down.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Even though Gilmore's wife said that they did not.
Here we go. Yeah.
And where's the one that I hate women tweet? I saw this. This is from Kate. So Fred really does hate women. So far today, he's told women they shouldn't be on Instagram and Twitter. I mean, come on. And now gay men are more evolved than women. So what Kate has taken away from the show today is me saying it might be a pain in the ass for your wife to be on Twitter tweeting about your life. And is that means that I hate women and I don't think they should be on Instagram or on Twitter? Because obviously I don't think Stephon Gilmore's wife should have a public, should have any kind of social media. I don't know what the hell that is. And saying that, making the joke that gay men are more evolved because they would find be more likely to find me attractive than women. I like that this is where we are. So Kate, congratulations on your peace sign avatar. And for taking such things away from the show. I mean, I got to read Twitter during the show because it's material, but it's off as soon as this thing's over with. All right, because for every time Chip Chipperson retweets you, you know,
sure.
you gotta deal with some slings and arrows. All right, we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just a moment.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich on social media. You can follow the show at Toucher and Rich, run by Rich. Mm-hmm. He does those tweets and Instagrams. You can follow Young John Wallach at Ken Griffey Rules on Twitter. And you can follow me on Instagram as my preferred mode of social media, at Fred Toucher. We are not on Twitch right now because I sent young Nicholas out. I was starting to feel lightheaded. I wanted some food, and I sent young Nicholas out a half an hour ago, and he hasn't come back. I hope he isn't crumpled into a...
You need a tracking device on him.
Yeah, I know. I hope he isn't crumpled in encased in metal as he slowly bleeds to death.
There's a supermarket within walking distance. I wonder, where did you send him?
I didn't. I just said, can you go somewhere and get me something to eat with no cheese on it?
Well, that would be a grocery store immediately next door.
Exactly. I don't know. I just said, what's around? I don't know. I don't hang out in the area.
Mm-hmm. Real quick,
this isn't a Brighton vibe.
Go ahead. Nice. You mentioned our social media. I just want to plug this real quick. I just put up on the at Toucher and Rich page the Light the Night March, which is for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I do that once a year. We don't ask you a lot to donate to things. We do it for the Bruins, you know, pucks and paddles, and I do it once a year for this. It's I've seen firsthand what the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has done. They save lives. They helped out with my wife. And if you can donate to this year's Light the Night team, it would be awesome. It's virtual, which means that there's not actually going to be a walk, but we will still obviously take the donations because, you know, every organization right now still, you know, cancer doesn't go away just because there's this whole pandemic. So if you guys could donate, you've always been very generous. Just go to the at Toucher and Rich page. It's on our Facebook too. And whatever you can, that would be awesome. And please help us raise money to fight blood cancer. That would be awesome if you could give what you can.
Nicholas went to Dunkin' Donuts. He's back.
Okay, good. So, where's the nearest Dunks?
I don't know.
Place?
I don't know. I don't either.
They going to bring that...
just down Marcy Boulevard. It's not that far.
Okay, right. Okay. Are they going to bring that Munchkin milkshake to Dunkin' Donuts like they're doing in Chicago?
Oh. I mean, you could just get a... do they make milkshakes at Dunkin' Donuts right now?
No, Dunkin' has... So there's like... you're seeing more and more of them pop up. It's the hybrid. Dunkin' and Baskin-Robbins. You see those... That's kind of... You know, like it's Long John Silver's and... It's
just Long John Silver's. It just stops right there.
Taco Bell KFC. That's one of the big hybrids. It's kind of like that. Like if you're going to see a Dunkin' hybrid, it's along with Baskin-Robbins. And apparently in Chicago, they've added that menu item and it's been massive. Of course it is. It's just cake and ice cream jammed together. You know, it's a Munchkin milkshake. I would kill for one of those. That would be awesome. I mean, you can make it by yourself, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, now I now that I'm not drinking, I have been consuming lots of ice cream. It's just some sort of pleasure.
Okay.
Something for the pleasure receptors.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything.
Got a go-to flavor?
You know what I get is I get the Breyers ice cream.
Okay.
And I get the s'mores.
Okay.
Okay, because there's many reasons. One, my family doesn't like it,
so you're guaranteed to have all of it.
So I have all of it,
yeah.
And then, that's the go to because I never ate ice cream, but now it's got to be something to put on weight. If I'm not putting on weight, what am I doing? You know,
Fred,
if I'm not being unhealthy,
I have a moral dilemma when it comes to ice cream because I absolutely love the Ben and Jerry's flavor called Fish Food, named after the band Fish.
Can't eat it. You can't eat Ben and Jerry's anyway.
Oh, Ben and Jerry's rules.
Oh, it's no different than anything else. Ice cream's ice cream. It's very difficult. If it's a flavor you like, it's very difficult to make a bad ice cream. It's not like you go to an ice cream place and go, this ice cream sucks.
Oh, there's some ice cream better than others. There's no question. There's some. Listen, I'm with you.
What do you think those hippies are?
You think those? Better than others.
What do you think those hippies are like in some shed making it? It's made like everything else in a big vat of crap.
It's a big, huge thing.
I've been there. To the factory.
I've been there too.
In the
Vermont.
That's what they
don't
show you.
Tell me. Yeah. Don't you tell me how they make it? I've seen
it firsthand. Exactly how they. I'm right there with you, Rich. I've been in the same place you have.
Those poor cows with their udders falling off because those hippies just can't get enough.
They have a
Jimmy Fallon one now too.
I know the Tonight Dough, which is excellent as well.
That's a black mark. On the resume.
Why would you even try that? You would. I mean, you could steal it, I guess. I mean, but I wouldn't. But no, because then they have to restock it, and the grocery store's already paid for it. No, you can't have Ben and Jerry's ice cream. You're encouraging hippies.
Colbert's Americone Dream is the best of all three of them, though. But Fish Food is excellent. It's delicious.
I like how they gave every late night host a nice flavor so they're not playing favorites.
I don't think they did that. I think it's just those two.
Well,
I don't
whatever.
Think there's a Jimmy Fallon flavor.
Well, they overlooked him. So there you go. You can't be letting those hippies. You can't give them any money. What are they going to give it to? Some cheat environmental group or something? They're as rich as
responsibly made, Fred.
Yeah, right. They're as rich as anyone else, and they make it. It comes from the same cows in the same conditions. Don't give me any of that.
They put different stuff in their ice cream than other places do.
It's milk and sugar.
No, what I'm saying is the add-ons, the other stuff, like fish food, for example.
Right, you can't get that anywhere else.
Who sold the company? Who is it owned by?
I don't know.
It's owned by Unilever, Dutch British conglomerate.
Oh, I got to tell you, when I think of going through a a big field of daisies skipping around. I think of what's the name of the company?
Unilever.
It's like Unilever. But as I learned in the tour, when they sold it to the conglomerate, there was an agreement that they would keep the same standards same type of philosophy that they did when they started off from the back of their truck.
That's right. Exactly. It's because Unilever, because you know they started off making levers for the Nazis or something.
What?
Just their description real quick. Fred, it says they produce food, sweets, energy drinks, baby food, sports drinks, ice cream, tea, cleaning agents, coffee, pet food, bottled water, chewing gum, frozen pizza, pregnancy tests.
Yeah, it's all done. It's all by handcrafted by great merchants. Yeah, exactly.
I heard was upheld standards. I don't know what you're talking about.
The Unilever Corporation or whatever the hell it's called. That's right. That's right. Well, once we made Unilever.
I actually don't care. I just like how it tastes.
You should care.
And it tastes. Ben & Jerry's is, I would say, upper third level of ice creams. Nice. Like, it's in the top third.
It's all the same.
When I went and visited the plant in Vermont, it wasn't empty. There were a lot of people there.
You could be like a jackass and stand in front of some, like, go up to Maine and stand in front of some ice cream shop for 15 hours waiting for ice cream like it's any different than the one next door.
What about that? What was that place on the Cape where a guy said it's not surgery, it's ice cream?
The Polar Cave.
The Polar Cave. That's right.
It's ice cream. It's not brain surgery. It's ice cream.
That's right.
He had a very strange British accent, yes.
Every moron on vacation standing for 5 hours to get an ice cream cone, as if it's any better than what you would get at the grocery store.
You really think that all ice cream tastes the same?
It's all good. It's fine.
It's all good. But there are some that are better than others.
It's whole milk and sugar. There should be no difference between the ice cream. I mean, it's easy to make.
Some are creamier. Some have better flavors. Some are thicker. They're chunkier. Some give you a bigger pour. It's like, you know, go to your favorite bartender. Like, you know, a scoop isn't a scoop at every place. You order a one scoop, and unfortunately, in a place like Ben & Jerry's, you're like, what? But if you go to like a place like one of these like Polar Cave places, dude, you're getting a mountain of ice cream. So, I mean, there's that factor as well.
Presentations are different.
Yeah, but I don't even care as much about that. I just like how it tastes and how much
this guy calls it all the time. JP, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Listen, Ben & Jerry's ruined my marriage. All those stupid damn flavors. And I'm standing there with all the other married guys looking at the super cooler for Chunky Monkey, which they're always out of. Then it's a search and destroy mission to see if Cumberland Farms has Chunky Monkey. Can't we just get a damn Klondike? It's silver paper. I can find it in the cooler, grab it, and go. And Viva paper towels. Like, what's the difference, people? Give me some damn vanilla. I'm thrilled, you know?
Yeah.
Now you're talking Klondike. I love Klondike bars. That is, I got no problem with those. Yeah, upper third.
They're probably made by some weird lever company, too.
There's no question.
All right. What do we got coming up in the stack, Rich?
All right. Things are getting weird in Las Vegas. Just when you thought that Hollywood has run out of great ideas for movies, they come out with this one. And speaking of films, the Marvel people, believe it or not, Marvel have come up with one of the best ideas of their entire run.
All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wall game. Who's it brought to us by?
Stack is brought to us by Window Nation. Fred, get buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right. Michael Hurley has a tongue-in-cheek little article that he put up. And little, I don't mean diminishing it. It sounded that way. But he has an article about how Schefter is now doubling down on his report. Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton had dinner, a report that originally was refuted by Stephon Gilmore's wife. Who cared about this in the first place? Who cares if they went out to eat? Like, what am I missing here? Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, and we talked a little bit about this morning, the only thing that I could think as to why Stephon Gilmore's wife would come out, because yesterday she tweeted about this not being true or being false news or something like that. What she said was, there was no dinner out. I'm going to help you out so you guys stop reporting false news. So my read into it was that she's pissed. And that she wants everyone to know exactly in her mind where Gilmore did catch COVID. It was she.
Who was going crazy about him going out to dinner? Who cares?
No, I don't think that got a lot of press at all. But maybe she's upset that he would somehow be blamed.
But I don't understand what it, I mean, you're allowed to go out to dinner. He didn't do anything wrong.
She wanted the world to know that she's pissed as a family member of a player.
Oh, God.
That just like the players on the Patriots, she's upset with the league making them go to that small locker room when they requested a larger one. That she made them get on a plane even though they were all been in contact with Cam Newton at the time. That's what she went, and she's just basically repeating, it sounds like, what she's heard from probably her husband and teammates like Jason and Devin McCourty. That's what I got out of it.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, fantastic.
I mean, but you're right. It's not, it doesn't really change anything, so, but I think it's just a wife saying, I'm pissed that my husband was put in this situation by the NFL.
Well, he's in a great deal of danger, obviously. Well, her tweet was liked 1,600 times. Do you want to hear what happened after when she started realizing, hey, I'm getting some attention? It says, I need my own talk show. If you're allowed to do these terrible takes and still have listeners laugh out loud. Well, all you new followers are here. Don't forget to go vote. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Follow my Instagram. Now she's telling people to follow her Instagram. Should I stay up for the game tonight? Oh, and tweet or nah. Emoji of a devil. My mentions are going too fast. What happened? Was this something I said?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I seem to have broken the internet. I heard someone was talking about my husband having dinner. And then and then she's like really having the time of her life because now we're talking to days gone by. I don't know about these Boston talk show hosts, whatever. All I know is that it would just be annoying to me if I was Stephon Gilmore. I would just be like, all right. I mean, I don't even think I'd say anything, but I would probably just be like, ugh. Get famous on your own. Don't use me. But there you go. There is a great debate happening now if indeed Stephon Gilmore had dinner with Cam Newton. So, because that would have been the worst thing in the world if they did.
Yeah. Doesn't matter as much now. Seems like they're both probably going to play this weekend.
Because my son was begging for hibachi, and we went to hibachi last night. I tell you what, the hibachi place was jumping.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday night, the hibachi place, they had I'll tell you, people were out for hibachi.
Nice.
Yeah, they don't seat the whole family style table though. They seat you, and then there's some empty seats, and then they seat the other people.
Like being a good hibachi place. Haven't been one in a while.
Tell you, hibachi, the first three bites are good, and then you want to just throw up. When you see the amount of butter that they put on meat, you just go. Okay.
I choose not to look at that. I understand what you're talking about. But you go for the show every once in a while.
The show was
the
bad.
Onion volcano is worth it.
That sucks. That's just smoke. He did the cool egg thing where you flip it up and then it lands on the side of the, which I contend I could do.
Sure.
If you gave me 10 minutes, I could do it.
Okay.
And then I might melt under the pressure, though. That is true. But other than that, he did nothing.
He didn't flip the food into your mouth, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but I mean, I could do that.
You catch the shrimp tail in his vest pocket type of thing?
No. That's out the window now. He didn't do any of that. See, he did flip the food, and I caught it.
Oh, good. There you go.
Because I'm very good at that. But then it was like uncooked cucumber.
Oh.
So it was in like a huge piece of it, so that it was a commitment to eat that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you. I mean, if going out to eat is a crime, a lot of people are guilty. The pizza, because I was at the mall, and the pizza, so I was in a mall, too, and it was across the street from the New Haven pizza place thing, and there was a big line of people wanting to get in the New Haven pizza place. So my point being that, why are we discussing if he had dinner or not? Because everyone's out to dinner, is my point. All right, what's next?
All right. Well, there are, there is something rather called the Billion Stream Club, and that are, geez, I can't even use my verbs properly. These are the songs that have been streamed a billion times on Spotify, and believe it or not, there are only two songs the year 2000 that have been streamed a billion times. Mm. One of them is Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, and the other one just passed a billion streams yesterday. It is a 90s rock song. Any guesses as to what it is? And in my opinion, good band, the song sucks.
Dr. Feelgood?
No. Come on.
I'm kidding.
Are you crazy?
How would I know? I'm
it's
guessing.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
What do I know?
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah. Motley Crue, the juggernaut of pop success. All right.
Not
Dr. Feelgood.
See, here's what I would have guessed. Not if I knew it was the 90s, but if I thought it was before 2000, I would have said, Don't Stop Believing. Don't Stop Believing. It's everywhere. It's just like one of the biggest songs of our lifetimes. It's everywhere.
It's a band you don't mind, and it's from the 90s.
And so it's a song that sucks.
Okay, so it has to be like an AOR band.
No, they're a good rock band.
No, I know, but it's an album-oriented rock band.
Heyday was probably 95, 96.
Oh, really? The Foo Fighters?
Bigger in other countries than they were here.
Oasis?
Yep.
Wonderwall?
Yes.
Wow.
Ugh. You go to a bar where the guy with the acoustic guitar is playing Wonderwall, it's time to leave.
I like Wonderwall, too. There was a girl that was actually not bad looking in college, and we were all high, and she sat back, and she had this voice, and she goes, "This song makes me horny." She said it like that. And I'll always associate that with Wonderwall.
Let's get it on.
Nah. She was good looking. She wasn't bad looking. She was in Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And we were all in the fraternity house listening to that song. But I like that song.
I love Oasis. That song is just, I've never thought it was good. I think that the chorus is one of the most mediocre choruses. It doesn't do anything. Maybe gotta be the one.
Oh, how do you not like that song? That song's great.
Because the quarter all Wonderwall.
All their lyrics are ridiculous. I mean,
no,
the lyrics
but it's like
are
even
awful.
Like the vocals are just like, ugh.
Oh, that's
like
a great
flat.
Song. Oh, that's see, a really good song.
That
now,
song
the more
sucks.
I think about it, it's how do you not like it? Like it hits the ear.
Supersonic
well.
Is a million. Champagne Supernova is a million times the song that Wonderwall.
Now,
is.
Champagne Supernova is not a bad song. That lyrics
song kills.
Those lyrics are just a mishmash
it's
of
not,
garbage.
It's not the lyrics.
No,
it's
no.
the vocals.
I know,
of
but
Wonderwall.
Champagne Supernova tests my patience on lyrics. Like
Champagne Supernova.
Someday you will find. Like that's like
the landslide.
Dude, that crushes. Like that's a great vocal line too. But Wonderwall.
Oh please.
Today's gonna be the day that we're gonna.
I could sing for a band if I had a British accent.
I hear that and I think of Blutarski from Animal House smashing someone's acoustic. Like I can't take that. Song.
That's not a folk song.
Yeah, but it's all the guys at the bars. It's like you're. It's like
yeah, but I don't. Wait, when was the last time you were at a bar with? I mean, you leave. I mean, that's what I do. I'm not even being sarcastic or trying to be cool. Like, I would leave. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Like,
yeah, no.
I never understood why bars hired them. Like, it's just, it's an irritant. It's not, well, when I used to go to a restaurant, not Terry O'Reilly's, but when I used to go to this other place to watch hockey, there was always, the bartenders and I would always, there was one manager at this place that had some kind of like militaristic idea that music needed to be played and like you couldn't put the sound of the game on at a reasonable volume because for some reason like he thought the music like added to the vibe and you're just like it's white noise. I understand the point of it, but it's really white noise. I mean, whether it's a game or music, it's just a placeholder so your conversation isn't overheard.
See, that's the worst when you go to a bar to watch a game. Like, it's like a Sunday, and you want to watch NFL Sunday football. And have you ever been to a bar before where there's like a hockey game on or something that you really wanted to see, and they've got to do, they've turned the sound down
yes.
of the game?
Yes. But there's a guy Friday playing and a Saturday guitar? Nights yes. at a sports bar is and, the worst.
And like, what oh are you God, doing? We're here at a sports bar. I want to hear the game. And I understand if it's not my game that they choose. If there's a bigger game, like right. a more right. important one, right. you can put the volume on for that. But don't turn them all down and put a dude in the corner with a guitar. Like, that's just bad ownership. That's like, that terrible. Is bad management,
I can't watch games at the bar anymore unless I'm with a big group of people, because you can't sit for a whole game if you're not drinking, because you're just taking up a seat yeah. and bothering yeah. everyone. Yeah,
yeah. Just eat like a fat ass, though. You can just make up for it that way. Keep bringing the apps. Give me apps.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I suppose you could just like get food for the next week and just get a bunch of boxes, but.
By the way, everyone's on Twitter saying, you know, we don't understand what a big deal the Stephon Gilmore dinner is. No. It's not that they do, but people are saying that's been basically the whole agenda on Felger and Maz for the last several days. I guess they were freaking out. What were they saying?
I heard them say that you can't blame them for going out to dinner. I don't even know why they were talking about it, but you can't blame them for going out to dinner.
Well, because Cam didn't know he was infectious.
I don't think that they made it that big a deal of it.
All right. Well, I just had like three people. I'm over-exaggerating.
I haven't heard any kind of outcry from them. I don't think that I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. But I haven't heard them say it. I've had the show on and I haven't heard them say it.
By the way, there are two artists. There aren't a lot of people who have a billion streams, but there's two artists that have seven songs that have a billion or more streams.
It's going to be awful, too. It's going to be like Drake.
Drake has three songs okay. that have a billion streams.
All right, so Drake, Dan said Taylor Swift, but I don't know if she has seven hits.
Taylor Swift, not on this list that I see.
How many of them are older artists?
Oh, no. These two of them are fairly new.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be...
Like, the two that have seven songs... Like, put it this way. Ed Sheeran has five songs.
Okay.
The right. Weeknd, Imagine Dragons, and Dua Lipa have four songs
It's
each.
Funny, because The Weeknd was one of the top 500 albums. Like, one album by him was, one of them albums. And I legitimately don't know a song by him.
I love The Weeknd. Like, The Weeknd's voice, listen to it. I mean, he sounds a lot like Michael Jackson.
Is that Can't Feel My Face? Is that The Weeknd?
Yeah. He's got a great voice, and
why don't you play that? Excellent. Why don't you just shove cocaine in your kids' noses? I Can't Feel My Face, I would imagine, is a song about cocaine.
Yeah, but think so.
Why don't you just shove cocaine up their noses? Why don't you play that for your kids, you terrible father? You piece of garbage father? How dare you?
Ariana,
you know
Grande.
What was cute was trying to get the N-word avoided from my son. That was fun for like a second until he started listening to music. I mean, every single song that kids listen to is just N-bombs everywhere. I mean, there's nothing I can. I mean, the kid's almost 13 years old. I mean, I can't censor the music. I can't. What am I going to do? Put parental restrictions on his phone? I mean, my Lord almighty, the language of these rapperoonies. They're saying the N-word like, eesh.
All right, so the two artists
hot
that
under
have
the collar for the T.
I see
the two artists that have seven songs with a billion streams each. That would be Post Malone and Justin Bieber.
See, I was going to say Post Malone, but then I didn't, because he's like, blew up when streaming was the way you consume music. But I didn't know he had seven hits.
That's pretty impressive.
You know what? How many of those do you think are actually people listening to the music? What percentage of them?
That's a good question.
Because apparently that is manipulated greatly. That is completely manipulated. The way the streaming numbers are, the record, you pay the record company and they do all kinds of shenanigans to the streaming numbers.
Oh, somebody's tweeting, Marvel update, you teased. All right, this is actually really cool. This is one of the most original things that they've done in a while. So, Spider-Man 3, it's going to be coming out, I think, at the end of next year. They keep moving it back. And there have been whispers about this happening, but it sounds like it's official. There is now going to be a storyline in which the current Spider-Man, mm-hmm. who is played by Tom Holland, opens up a multiverse with Doctor Strange, and that brings in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. The previous Spider-Men will join Tom Holland, and it will be three Spider-Men versus all of the villains from the past Spider-Man movies.
Well, I know how you win automatically is you have a fight on Mondays. If Garfield's going to be involved, he's not going to want anything to do with it.
And he and let's just throw some lasagna out there, and then, you know, he's all distracted.
Well, he sleeps in an effing lasagna pan.
By the way, this is on top of word that Jamie Foxx had accidentally leaked out that his character Electro from the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man was going to be coming back. That makes sense. So it sounds like it's going to be all of the Spider-Men from the past 20 years, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland, versus all of the different bad guys from the last Spider-Man movies. Doc Ock. Maybe you'll even get Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin back, which would rule. Yeah. That sounds awesome to me. Like, that to me is like a fairly original twist they put on everything. And then everything's fair game. And then they're going to go into a multiverse of madness, and then Tony Stark's going to be coming back. And it's just
it's
a comic book
4.
Wet dream come true.
It's like WrestleMania 4 when Dusty Rhodes went over the top rope on the Superfly. You know what? We watched last night in the Toucher House. It was on. My son went and rented it. That's My Boy.
Oh.
And That's My Boy, but with Adam Sandler.
That's not, because I remember that movie being fairly dirty. Like, that's a dirty movie.
Yeah, it's. Because,
The dude's, sleeping with his sister, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's ridiculous. But the one thing was when he's masturbating to the picture of the grandmother, that was... That was not lost on my children.
Okay.
They were fully aware of what was going on. And sometimes you just got to say, you know, this is the way life is.
You know what I heard's pretty good? Hubie Halloween. I heard it's actually pretty funny.
And I will counter with a big no.
Oh,
it's been on. I mean, I wouldn't say I watched it, but my kids have watched it. I'll say this. One of the comic foils of a great prominence is Kevin James.
Oh, okay.
And he does a dumb voice in it, Adam Sandler, during the whole thing.
I got you a early present, so apparently I was contacted by, you know, I'm still on all the movie company things, and you were going to be getting, Fred, in your inbox 3 days before it comes out, the new Borat movie.
Oh, excellent. Yes. I look forward to that. Borat, my second favorite comedy of all time.
I think it's next weekend that comes out.
August or October 23rd, I heard.
Next weekend. Not this weekend, but the one after, yeah.
All right. Everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.